Hey everyone, thank you all so much for joining us for today's segment of the Together Miss series. I'm Jen Droppo, Director of Admissions and Marketing and a co-founder at Sparrow Recovery Center. Today we're going to talk about something that affects 100 million people a day, chronic pain. I know this is not a new topic. I can honestly say that until I had a personal experience with it, I didn't pay that much attention to the information that was out there. This changed for me last year when I suffered a back injury, and it significantly impacted my life. It impacted my relationships, my work, my quality of life, pretty much tanked for a while there. And, you know, I found myself looking for any sort of resource to help alleviate the pain that I was feeling. Months of doctor's appointments, second opinions, MRIs, x-rays, medication, treatment, you know, it did not help the excruciating pain that I was still feeling every day. I started reaching out to friends and colleagues for advice, and honestly, I just wanted their support. Chronic pain can be very isolating and defeating at times. It appeared that we had finally found some answers and had a treatment plan set, and then COVID happened. Suddenly, my treatment plan was considered non-essential, and now I just have to continue to wait it out and try to remain positive. As we discussed in the first episode, Togetherness was created to give folks a space to talk about life issues as they're happening in real time. As we know, a pandemic can make us all feel like we're on pause, but life is continuing to happen. And selfishly, I want to know how other people are living with chronic pain. You know, what are the resources out there? What can I use? What can I use right now when I'm stuck in my home? So I went ahead and I reached out to an expert, Miss Paulina Siegel, who is our guest today. Paulina is a licensed clinical social worker, a certified addiction counselor, and a master level trained mindfulness instructor. Paulina began her clinical career working with Gen Z and millennials struggling with mental health and or addiction. She had the privilege of working with these individuals throughout her 6 years in community mental health. After leaving community mental health, Paulina launched Courageous Paths Counseling in the Wash Park neighborhood and exclusively serves 15 to 40 year olds. She utilizes a generational approach to address the unique needs of Gen Z and millennials while publicly speaking about the generational research across the United States. So with that, Paulina, thank you so much for joining us today. I'm going to turn it over to you.
Thank you, Jen, for having me. This is very exciting and energizing to be able to speak about chronic pain and mindfulness practice. Part of that is due to my personal experience with a long history with chronic pain. And I'm hoping that we can give our viewers a gift of how they can change their relationship to pain in a way that creates more effectiveness, more vitality in their life, and they don't have to rely on opioids, which, as we both know, has so many implications.
Absolutely. And so what is your connection to chronic pain? What is your experience?
So my connection to chronic pain started at 14 years old, where I developed a strange pain in both my lower legs, from my knee to my ankle in the calf and shin area. And what I noticed is anytime I tried to exercise or engage in any physical activity, this really sharp and intense pressure would come on. And at the time, you know, I was still growing and developing and didn't think much of it. I was able to note that it was uncomfortable, but I didn't necessarily think of it as problematic until that pain continued to 15, 16, 17 years old. 17 years old is when I finally said to my parents, you know, something's not right. I can't do any of the workouts or activities that, you know, my classmates can. And I can't deal with this anymore. We have to figure something out. And so I went to my first doctor. And that doctor said, well, it seems like your muscles are really tight. I think it's best for you to create a stretching regimen, and that should alleviate the pain. Well, you know, foreshadowing years later, that clearly didn't work. And so I kind of just took this advice at 17 years old and was doing the best I can to manage the pain, but it just didn't work. 20 years old rolls around, I go to my second doctor, and I get the same answer. Hey, I think you need to stretch more. You need to make sure that you don't load so heavily. You should probably lose some weight so that your joints and, you know, ligaments don't have so much pressure. Again, all advice that was not only inaccurate, but just didn't work. So now we're at 20 years old, you know, and I'm lost. I've gotten two doctors already that say information that's not working. I then fast forward to today, so 20 until now, and within that time frame, I had seen 5 other doctors. So we're at a total of 7 at this point. This year, I ended up going to the Stedman Clinic, and at the Stedman Clinic, I saw one of the best orthopedic surgeons, shared everything with him, and he said, you know, I think it's this really rare disorder called exertional compartment syndrome. And at that point, he's speaking Mandarin. I'm like looking out the room being like, okay, what does that mean? What does that look like? How do I fix this? And so he ran a bunch of tests, confirmed that it was exertional compartment syndrome. And I had surgery May 11th of this year where the pandemic was just hitting. The chaos was unfolding. But I'm now in recovery and I'm healing and I'm taking it day by day. And I'm really grateful that this surgery will allow me the opportunity to live a life in theory without pain and allow myself to be able to exercise and move in ways that I haven't been able to since 14 years old. So the struggle is real. Pain, chronic pain can be indescribably unbearable. And I definitely experienced that over the years.
You sound well. You know, I know this has been a long journey for you and you know, I have a similar experience, but not nearly as long-term as yours. So I'm just happy that you seem to be on the road to recovery and, you know, you have a very bright outlook on things. And, you know, I'm really curious, you know, how did you manage all those years of chronic pain and suffering?
Well, you know, the first couple of years, I was just trying to follow doctors' leads to stretch, to try to lose weight, to change my loading and activities, and it wasn't working. So a lot of the time I just backed off from physical activity. I just stopped doing the things that brought on the pain, which was really, you know, sad. It's sad because I wanted to be able to go running with a friend. I wanted to take a class at the gym. I wanted to be able to hike, you know, a 14er, and I just couldn't. So for the longest time, it was avoidance strategies. It was ways to just not have to experience the discomfort at all. I would say starting about 5 or 6 years ago, I got super into mindfulness practice and trained through the Be Mindful Institute in Colorado and became a certified mindfulness practitioner. And through that, learned how I can manage pain just through mindfulness practice and how I can decrease the intensity of my pain just purely through meditations and different mindfulness strategies. So, you know, I wish I had learned mindfulness at 14 years old and I probably would have had less suffering over the years, but I'm incredibly grateful that I started to reduce the pain, the experience of my pain 5 or 6 years ago.
How exactly does mindfulness and using mindfulness reduce the perception of pain or what we're feeling?
It's a really incredible question because a lot of times people think, you know, how does being present and getting connected to our here and now experience going to change pain? And really, pain is a complex phenomenon because it's multidimensional and it's a subjective experience that consists of sensory, affective, and cognitive elements. I'll explain that a little bit more in a moment. What happens is we first experience a sensation of pain somewhere in our body. We begin to judge it as bad and something that we need to get rid of. And then we figure out ways to escape the pain while continuing to judge our pain as negative. And the judgment we add to the pain actually exacerbates it. Essentially, our subjective judgment of pain and the cognitive narratives we attach to pain influences the perception of pain. I guess, how many times can I say pain in one sentence?
You're on a roll.
Let me clarify here. What are cognitive narratives? What do I mean by that? The narratives that we attach to pain might go as, this will never go away. I'm always going to be this way. My life sucks. I can't handle this anymore. The more that those tapes play while we're experiencing pain, the pain intensity increases. because we're judging and we're analyzing and we're critiquing the experience in the present moment. And what mindfulness does is it helps us become more aware of our experience while noticing our judgment, thoughts, and stories, and then letting them pass on by without getting attached or entangled in them. Because when we get attached to unhelpful thoughts and stories, it just makes the suffering increase. And the process of noticing and unhooking from these thoughts and narratives reduces the intensity of pain.
So you said something that hits so close to home for me, you know, and I think a lot of folks, you know, experiencing pain is one thing, but the mental health that it comes with it, that how we, you know, I can't describe how it feels to go to bed at night in pain and just be so hopeful that hopefully tomorrow it's not going to be as bad, or there's going to be this miracle and you're not going to be in pain anymore. And then to wake up and be like, oh shit, it's still here. It's still happening. It's still real. And now I got to get through another day of that. You know, sometimes that was heavier than the physical pain that I was experiencing.
Yeah. I mean, I'm 100%. The narrative of, oh my God, I have to wake up every morning and deal with this. I just can't do it anymore. Absolutely adds to the experience of the physical pain in our body. And I think it's a part of the complex phenomenon of pain that's neglected. Doctors are so centered and focused around how do I fix this part of the body, which is oftentimes through, you know, an opioid regimen, which as we both know leads to addiction and suffering and heartbreak. And it's not a sustainable measure. Yes, it might provide temporary relief, but staying on opioids leads to not only, you know, emotional and cognitive dependency, but physical dependency. And so that's why I'm so grateful for mindfulness practice, because, you know, some may say that that could be an addiction in itself, but when we're looking at it through harm reduction, I take mindfulness practice over being hooked on narcotics any day. So, you know, I really feel for what you're saying around waking up, having your fingers crossed, hoping that maybe the pain's gone, and then feeling the intense defeat of, nope, I feel it again.
You know, mindfulness is such an incredible tool. Can you explain to me a little bit, you know, I'm looking at some of the notes you sent over, and how does mindfulness actually change, you know, the brain structurally, you know, when it comes to pain and how we perceive it?
Yeah, it's fascinating. It's amazing. Because not only do subjects in these studies report that the intensity of their pain has decreased, but we can see on fMRI imaging that the brain has structurally changed. It looks different after 8 weeks of consistent mindfulness practice. And related to pain, the first way the brain changes is by altering its pain circuits. Research shows that meditators or active mindfulness practitioners have decreased activity in the regions involved in emotions, memory, and appraisal of pain. So the two areas that research highlights is the amygdala and the hippocampus. And both those areas have actively connect to our emotional processing, storing of memories, and appraisal, our analysis or kind of evaluation of something that's happening in the present moment. And so when we see those brain alterations in terms of pain, we're looking, the emotions that we experience from pain makes the experience more intense. Our memories of painful moments exacerbates our experience of pain. The appraisal, so the judgment, the critique of what we're experiencing increases pain. So by those parts of the brain altering, we see the intensity drop. In addition, we also see a decrease in activity in the thalamus, which lessens the intensity of pain, because the thalamus is the part of the brain that deals with all sensory processing. You know, what we can see, what we can smell, taste, touch, hear. And by it decreasing the intensity of pain, it stops the sensory communication from reaching the areas of the brain associated with thinking and evaluation, so the judgment. And what I think is so incredible is that when I have a client come my way and say, gosh, I've been dealing with chronic pain, I can't do this anymore, my mental health is plummeting, my depression is out of control, I feel anxious every day just hoping that I can get by, is being able to share that brain science and be able to say, hey, with dedicated practice, and it doesn't have to be hours every day, it could be 15 minutes out of your day, that this is going to change your brain so that you don't have to suffer anymore. I mean, that's just magic.
Science, magic, same thing in my opinion. So, you know, if someone wanted to incorporate mindfulness into their daily life, whether that's just in general or, you know, in particular, like specifically for chronic pain, what's one technique that someone could use to reduce, you know, the intensity of pain they're feeling?
Sure. And I want this to be tangible. I want it to be easily accessible, especially while it's all in quarantine. You know, again, we have the standard medical care, which is to provide narcotics. And, you know, if we want to pull away from that, we have to do something that is non-addicting, that provides nourishment and stability for the brain. The best thing I can offer everyone listening in today is a technique called body scans. Body scans are one of the best tools to help change our relationship to pain and practice mindfulness at the exact same time. What the body scan allows us to do is use our body to experience present-centered, non-judgmental awareness. So we're connecting to our experience of pain, but not with attachment. We're noticing it. We're observing it. We're allowing it to be there, and we're not struggling with the sensation of the pain. And body scans allow us to learn to notice the difference between direct experience of pain and the indirect perceptions that we add to the experience. So those unhelpful stories and narratives, the stories that this will never get better, that you know, you're going to suffer the rest of your life, that life is not going to ever be how you imagined it. Those are stories that we attach to, again, exacerbate the pain. So we're able to create some space from the actual sensation and then the commentary that the brain creates.
So for anyone listening in right now, how could they get their hands on a body scan?
I'm so glad to be able to provide something tangible. It's the best when we walk away with a little gift. I pre-recorded a body scan that is accessible to every viewer today. If you are interested in downloading that body scan, there's two ways to do it. One, there will be an embedded link in this series where you can click it and download, or you can send me a personal email, paulina@courageouspathscounseling.com, paths is plural, and in the subject line, just write body scan, and I will immediately send it over to you. So it gives everyone something that they can try today. No one needs to wait anymore. And again, it takes about 8 weeks for us to see structural changes in the brain, 8 weeks of consistent work. That could be a meditation, a body scan, a mindfulness, a meditation walk. There's a lot of different techniques out there. But if you can commit to at least 15 minutes per day for a total of 8 weeks, really we see the brain, you know, growing and thriving in ways that make a true difference in how we experience pain. So I invite everyone to try this body scan for at least 7 days, and feel free to provide feedback. Send me an email. Tell me what you notice when you're able to acknowledge your pain, let it go, when you're able to notice your unhelpful stories and let them go, and how that impacts the experience of pain. So please provide feedback.
Well, I can't thank you enough for, you know, giving us that tool, providing it, putting it out there for folks. I know it's been helpful for me in my journey right now, and I'm definitely utilizing this tool. So I just want to say thank you. You know, you're an incredible friend and colleague, and, you know, I respect your opinion, and you put so much work into this topic and studying it and researching it. So I encourage everybody listening to, if you're experiencing something like this, shoot Paulina an email. You know, she'll get back to you. And this is, you know, she's very passionate about it. And I can feel that. I think we all can feel that. So, you know, I think it's also important, Paulina, just to note that you, while you're so researched in chronic pain, that's not the only, you know, issue you treat. Who else do you treat in your practice?
Yeah, I mean, I see a lot of folks struggling with chronic pain, but as you know, my specialty is Gen Z and millennials, anyone 15 to 40 years old. I've created a specialized practice that uses a generational model because Gen Zers and millennials struggle uniquely. We don't navigate and show up in life the same as Gen X and boomers. So I wanted to create a very niche practice that caters to 15 to 40 year olds because they deserve, you know, a catered approach and they deserve top-notch care. In addition to the chronic pain, I see a lot of trauma, anxiety, addiction, life adjustment, troubles navigating the workforce. The list goes on. So again, if anyone's out here listening and you need support, I'm providing teletherapy to adapt to this crazy time. And I'm happy to schedule an initial consult and make sure that I can provide you the care that you deserve. So feel free to reach out. I have an open door policy. And I just want to acknowledge Sparrow Recovery is such an incredible program, peer-led, has a lot of, you know, evidence behind the model and is making a true impact in Colorado. And so I'm very lucky to have Sparrow, Jen, Rourke, that entire team to be able to have them as a resource when my clients need additional support or higher level of care. So thank you for thinking of me today and allowing me this opportunity to share mindfulness in terms of chronic pain. And I'm happy to be a resource in any capacity.
Thank you. You are such an incredible resource for our industry and for our community. So I just, again, I want to thank you for spending some time with us today. It means a lot to me, and I'm sure anyone listening, you know, can walk away with some valuable information. So that being said, I'll make sure your contact info is in this post. And if anyone has any questions, please reach out to Paulina, reach out to myself. You know, our goal is just to serve as a resource during this time and, you know, always. So thank you everyone for joining us in the Together Mess series, and we hope to see y'all soon. Mm-hmm.